2237.
Jobs, boots on the ground in Libya, and lots of tough talk coming out of Tampa, Florida, at yet another Republican debate. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight, the name of this show. The water cooler buzz on the overnight highway. You can be a part of it. We start, and I'm going to tell you how, we start, though, with the president telling us he has a way to save the face. He didn't say that. He says he has a way to create jobs through his jobs plan, $447 billion. That's how much it's going to cost. So where do we get the money? Then he says, well, we don't really have to pay for it. We don't have to pay for it. Where are we getting this money from? Well, we're going to close up some tax loopholes for wealthy people. Only one of the things that's going to happen is payroll. Remember the whole payroll tax deal? So you saw 25 cents more in your check or whatever it was. Well, the bottom line is if that's extended, then that will be one way to raise some, just a little portion of this money in this proposal that supposedly will get Americans back to work. Of course, the problem is you're stealing the money that's left, the few pennies left in the piggy bank of a thing called Social Security that 55 million Americans right now are dependent on for something. And there are others in the wings as the baby boomer generation is huge, right? So let me give you some broad, quick strokes on the jobs bill. We've been talking about it for a long time, but now this is 150-some-odd pages of a little of this, a little of that. Ultimately, racking up the bill, $447. The press says the only thing that would block its passage is the people deciding it wasn't good politics to work with him. And he said, we can't afford the same political games, not now. I think there's games being played on all ends of the street, whether it's 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue or it's on the Hill. So they're sending this up to Congress and already have, right? There was that speech to a joint session of Congress last week, and now it's the sell job on the public. So the president is hitting the road. Tuesday he's in Ohio, Wednesday in North Carolina, and there's a new ad campaign that's rolling out from Nevada to New Hampshire, they say. And the big centerpiece of it is all about jobs, 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 jobs. Talking about teachers, talking about school construction. And those are probably the kind of things you'll see on video. So the plan, according to the president, could be passed without adding to the deficit. The White House laid some very detailed strokes on how it would work and how it would be paid for if only, oh, only the Republicans will just pass this sucker. Here's Jay Carney doing his best sell job.
If it were not to pass in that hypothetical, we would obviously forego the boost to the economy and the boost to job creation that it represents. Congress would have to go back at its next recess, or rather at the end of the year, and explain why they felt there was no need to take action on the absolute top priority that the American people have.
Here's what I like. Eric Cantor, the House Majority Leader, of course Republican, from Virginia, who doesn't like much of what comes out of the White House, said that for the president to sit here and say, it's pass my bill all or nothing, that's just not the way things are done anywhere in Washington. The problem is, Mr. Cantor, in Washington, nothing gets done. Nothing gets done. And we have outrageous unemployment that is whipping like a wildfire in Texas or Arizona throughout this country. So I just can't wait to see those DNC ads hitting the air in some of the states actually that I'll be in the next week or two. In fact, the tagline, I'm told, is read it, fight for it, pass the president's jobs plan. Is this the answer? Is this the answer, passing this bill? Passing a bill that closes up a few loopholes, but definitely also pushes on the burden still to the middle class. And when I ask this question, I keep getting the same answer. No, it doesn't. It doesn't? Well, aren't you doing that payroll thing? Well, yeah. And then sort of the conversation dies from there. That's when you know you've hit on something. So, sure, if you want to go after the rich, $3 billion from changing the tax treatment of corporate jets, $18 billion would come from fund managers having to pay taxes on certain income, $40 billion from closing loopholes for oil and gas companies, $400 billion limiting the itemized deductions for charitable contributions and other deductions that can be taken by people who make over $200,000 a year and families that make over $250,000. So with this tax-cutting elements that would be in place here if it were to even pass, then throw in the payroll taxes, the cuts to the payroll taxes, and still it's the little guy that somehow is going to eat this, including with the lack of job creation, because guaranteed you're still having those jobs overseas. If you change the corporate tax from 35 to 25%, guaranteed you'd have more jobs in the United States of America. That's my solution. That's one easy tweak to the system that would work. And you could say, well, screw it. Why give the corporations a tax break? Because that's why people are losing their jobs. Bank of America is slashing 30,000 jobs. How many other places have slashed jobs? Cisco just had a bloodletting. You know, pick a company, any company, especially in tech, and look at where it's going. And there's your answer. So the jobs bill, to me, thumbs down. And it's not because, oh, you know, protect the rich, has nothing to do with that. Which in some parts of the country, depending on how many kids you have in a house, you're not living high off the hog, $200,000, because that's not $200,000. Take away the taxes. Now what are you down to? What tax bracket are you already in? Let's say you have five kids. You know, not as much money as you really would think. It's not like $500,000. It's not like $400,000. In Washington, D.C., in some of the suburbs there, $200,000 is like $100,000. Imagine if you have five kids and you're feeding those kids and sending them to school and all that stuff on that. It's really, it's cut in half. Just slam that in half. All right, also coming up on this show, I want to give you a little bit of the menu. We're going to hit sports because, of course, we had football and we had nailed the score, and we'll tell you if anyone won that. And We Can Count will feature a moment where a tennis player was fined $2,000. You could say, who cares? But it's really funny, and it is a number. Then we're going to talk about the police in England rescuing 24 victims of slavery, of all things. How do they uncover this? That's part of We Can Count. Plus, we're checking the mail. In fact, that's where we're headed next. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Introducing a diabetes breakthrough, an easy, natural, organic way to bring relief to diabetics. Introducing MDS Forte, a concentrated super strength extract formulated for those who are looking for quick action. Listen to what the revolutionary MDS Forte can do for you. MDS Forte reduces glucose levels safely and effectively, reduces cholesterol and triglyceride levels, increases HDL or good cholesterol while reducing LDL or bad cholesterol. MDS Forte reduces A1C, improves eyesight and circulation to the limbs, and helps weight loss. Is non-toxic, caffeine-free, 100% natural, 100% organic, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Waiting for the side effects disclaimers? With MDS Forte, there are none. Order a 25-day treatment of MDS Forte at BestBloodSupport.com or call 213-405-5355. Call 213-405-5355 or go to BestBloodSupport.com. That's BestBloodSupport.com for MDS Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.
I must have dreamed a thousand dreams, been haunted by a million screams, but I could hear the marching feet, they're moving into the street. Now did you read the news today? They say the danger's gone our way, but I can see the fire still alight.
Or hate him, Rick Perry definitely is in the driver's seat right now. Anyway, when it comes to the Republican ticket, a new CNN poll that came out before the start of the first ever Tea Party debate, a new survey dropped that showed that the Texas governor has a giant lead in the race for the presidential nomination on the GOP side of things. So specifically laying out quickly for you, the best chance to beat President Barack Obama in 2012 seems to be Rick Perry. 30% of Republicans and independents, because that's the key group, who lean toward the Republicans support Perry for the nomination, with former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney at 18%. Now remember, Romney was leading until Perry came along, and then that was it. So the Tea Party Express and some other Tea Party groups from all the 50 states put on this debate at the Florida State Fairgrounds just outside of Tampa. And there, Rick Perry had a big target on his back. He was shellacked by some of the other candidates, seven others who were on the stage with him, who went after him for a couple of different things, including the HP vaccination that he order, he signed an executive order for young girls to get in Texas. And, of course, that's government and government intervention. And also you're talking about STDs, and you're talking about, the possibility of cervical cancer, which is what Perry was convinced of and which, you know, ultimately partially led to that executive order, although upon further review, somebody who really benefited from it was Merck, and somebody who ran the Perry office went to work for Merck. So there was some murky things, you could say, underneath the surface on that one. But it didn't matter. That just was all flushed out. And he deflected plenty of those kind of things as they tried to chip away at his lead. And, of course, that's what's going to happen. The rest of the attack dogs are going to jump on you when you're the lead dog, when you're the alpha dog, and he has definitely got the alpha role at this point. And watching the way he deflected that, you know, some people that weren't necessarily on Perry's bandwagon but would do anything to see the current president not get reelected again, say they would vote for Perry. So did the debate help him at all? Did that solidify him on solid ground as he makes his way to try to get closer to getting the nomination, because we're 14 months away. Perry, who, as I said, was deflecting things, including Social Security and some other things that he said, took a little shot back of his own. Listen.
I raise about $30 million. And if you're saying that I can be bought for $5,000, I'm offended.
I'm offended for all the little girls and the parents that didn't have a choice. That's what I'm offended for.
All right. The $5,000, by the way, what he was talking about there is Merck's contributions to his campaign was $5,000. So he's pointing out that, hey, this was just a little drop in the old bucket. And, you know, then after that, they moved on to something else. All right, a lot of you had some thoughts on this debate. If you want to weigh in, you can do it by dialing my digits, 800-259-5791. I'll say it again, 800-259-5791. But some of you have already done that in the mailbag, so let's go and check the mail.
You have mail, mistress.
Ooh, thank you very much. All right, speaking of Texas, here's one from Jake in Austin. Jake says, hey, Katie Kate, once again stealing a line from your friend. I think he lives in Norway. He's talking about Soul Album, financial guy. Listening to Rick Perry makes me nauseous. The American people have no idea what a wolf this man is, and he is pulling the wool over the eyes of those who suddenly love Rick Perry. Do they pay attention to what he's done on illegal immigration? Are they really paying attention to the executive order he flushed out for those young girls to have to be vaccinated and how much money ultimately his friends benefited from? Give me a break on Governor Goodhair. He would be a lousy president. I almost think I'd rather have Obama in office. Ooh. And by the way, Jake is a longtime Republican, because usually he's definitely anti-Obama. So how about that? He lives in Texas, though. So let's move on to another one. This one's from Manny, who says this, who writes this to us. I listened to the debates today from Florida. Boy, everybody sure ganged up on Rick Perry. I have to say that I like a guy who can stand up to bullies, and I understand this is what you do in politics, but I like this guy. He sort of is breathing fresh air into a tired, old, same scenario that we get from the regular Republican candidates, if you know what I mean. I think Perry wins this nomination, and I think Mitt Romney is probably furious about it. Ooh, okay, so does he win the nomination? Well, they'll be back in Tampa next August, whoever's getting the nomination. And you might be getting a lot of the headlines and winning the polls right now, but sometimes that can change, as all of you know. Remember McCain, when McCain went up against Obama, And it definitely was not looking like he was going to get the call at all. He was running out of money. And before you knew it, though, he somehow had reinvigorated his campaign, and he was the guy. He was the guy, and especially then he put Sarah Palin on the ticket. But, you know, once that happened, then for a few days, they were like rock stars. And then it started to go in the opposite direction. And of course, the other big thing for McCain was 2008, what happened in the fall? Banks too big to fail. Smothered any possible chance of McCain becoming president, because there were enough people that were absolutely fumed about, why do the banks get bailed out? They're not bailing us out. Why don't they send us checks instead? And you know that whole thing. Boy, that was an argument that rivaled the argument over the debt ceiling. And I think it was the first big mistake that we made. It shouldn't have bailed out everybody, certainly on that list. All right, here's another one. This one comes to us from Stuart, who says, I have to ask you a question, Kate. I don't understand what is going on in Libya. Why do we continue to get sucked in to these false flash wars? That's what I'm going to call them. Just like the flash mobs. It makes no sense. We chase around Muammar Gaddafi. Let those people handle the situation themselves. I know some atrocities have happened there, but it's an atrocity what's going on when it comes to the raping of the American people, and they don't even realize it. All the money is gone. This is a fool's errand. All right, fool's errand, I agree. A fool's errand in the sense that it's terrible what's happened to the people, the human shields, the whole thing, and the rebels are just as much a band of thugs, too. Who knows? You don't know what you're getting there. That's that same thing that you see in Tunisia and Egypt. Oh, we're going to wait and see, and the military's going to intervene, and then we'll have free elections. Yeah, right. But this was supposed to be wrapped up sooner rather than later. It all started, let me remind you, when we were wearing sweaters back in February. Now we're sweltering, and we're almost at the end of the year. It's insanity. How much time, money, effort, discussion has been wasted on Libya. And now, to top it all off, we've got some boots on the ground. I don't care if it is a handful of troops. That was the idea. We were not going to send people in. Now it's just not about airstrikes. It's about military minds and personnel. I think that's a big mistake. Coming up around the bend, we look at the numbers, another version of We Can Count.
Hello, friends. Alex Jones here. You all know I've worked for years with Steve Shank and eFoods Direct. I have eFoods for my own emergency food supply. You know, Steve, life is different now for all of us, isn't it?
Very different. People are using this great food to survive the present hurricane season, and we've already had $40 billion worth of damage from floods, storms, quakes, and droughts. And that's just the first 8 months of this year. Natural disasters are newsworthy, but only touch a few of us Americans. The huge issue of the greatest depression is on everyone's mind. The unemployment, the loss of homes, lost businesses, and skyrocketing food costs are hitting every American. So everyone needs food security.
Folks, this month you will get free shipping on every food order from eFoods Direct. That's right. Every order gets free shipping starting September 6th. Get stocked up with the best storable foods out there with eFoods Direct and be prepared for any emergency before it happens. To take advantage of this special, call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Introducing a diabetes breakthrough, an easy, natural, organic way to bring relief to diabetics. Introducing MDS Forte, a concentrated super strength extract formulated for those who are looking for quick action. Listen to what the revolutionary MDS Forte can do for you. MDS Forte reduces glucose levels safely and effectively, reduces cholesterol and triglyceride levels, increases HDL or good cholesterol while reducing LDL or bad cholesterol. MDS Forte reduces A1C, improves eyesight and circulation to the limbs, and helps weight loss. Is non-toxic, caffeine-free, 100% natural, 100% organic, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Waiting for the side effects disclaimers? With MDS Forte, there are none. Order a 25-day treatment of MDS Forte at BestBloodSupport.com or call 213-405-5355. Call 213-405-5355 or go to BestBloodSupport.com. That's BestBloodSupport.com for MDS Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.
The American people think they live in a constitutional republic. Land of the free, home of the brave. Right.
Just try those lines on the judge when you get a ticket or have to deal with a big bad IRS.
Instead, use escapeharassment.com. Since 1972, our volunteer group of researchers and educators have successfully taught how to escape tickets by law, and it works. Escape Harassment has three different steps to follow, depending on where you are in the ticket process. Learn how to escape tickets, IRS, or court proceedings before you go to court. For free, three-minute pre-recorded information and FAQs, call this toll-free number, 1-877-457-9009. That's 877-457-9009. Or go to escapeharassment.com and see our money back guarantee. That's escapeharassment.com. Remember, escape harassment works.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
We start off with SpongeBob. Ever watch SpongeBob SquarePants? Yep. Well, the animated kids series, which has been singled out before for all kinds of crazy things, in my opinion, for promoting pro-gay and global warming awareness and blah, blah, blah. Now the American Academy of Pediatricians will take aim at the 12-year ever-popular Nickelodeon show. Why? Because they did a study that concluded that the fast-paced type of show that SpongeBob is and others like it are terrible for kids. According to the AAP's press strategy, they're releasing this study that says SpongeBob is bad for four-year-olds, where they followed the children. They followed the children, the American Academy of Pediatrics, and went through various cartoons, and this cartoon came up as being one of the worst because it makes the kids slow. Well, wait, it's a fast-paced cartoon that makes the kids slow. I don't get it. But I think Nickelodeon's going to be able to shoot back and say, well, you know what? it's not for four-year-olds. It's for older kids because the four-year-olds don't understand it. That's what I think is probably going to happen here. Yeah. All right, let's move on to something else. I'm just thinking out loud, the cartoons I watched. We're going to do a cartoon segment on our next show. And that's what happened to me. I watched bad cartoons. Did you watch cartoons when you were little? Think about it. And check in with us on our next show. All right, how about this one? Let's move to the idea that, remember the home bought for $1 is now actually threatened by foreclosure. So what happened here? Doesn't every good story have a happy ending? I guess not. This happened out of Chicago, actually a suburb, Glen Ellen, Illinois. If any of you are familiar with it, listening to me in that area, there's an 1895 Victorian house, and there's a woman named Linda Hatchell who bought it for $1. It's a dilapidated old house that if it was fixed up would look great. And she came across it in the 80s. It was owned by a church. They were going to demolish it. She offered to buy it. It was being sold for one single dollar. So she wanted it as long as she could get the permits to have it moved a mile or two down Main Street to where it's now resides. And that cost her $50,000, so now that makes more sense, right? And she gutted the entire thing, took a second mortgage to pay for the work that they had to do. Unfortunately, she was diagnosed with cancer, so she had mounting medical bills. She hasn't been able to keep up with all her monthly mortgage payments except the final one, so now the bank is threatening to foreclose. But because this story is being shared all over the place, I have a feeling some people are going to try to come to her aid. Yeah. Because it was one of those stories where she was trying to do whatever she could. She was encouraged to, okay, you have enough to get this mortgage, move the house. I mean, we know the scenarios, right? We won't even get into housing right now. Forget that. How about this, quickly, in a Bucktown storefront, you know, the north side. Ooh, I spent some time there in Chicago. There is a guy who is pulling off a movie marathon, 72 hours of movies with just one or two bathroom breaks and no sleeping. So why is he doing that? Because he's a filmmaker. And he's doing it to prove that you can do it. And to raise money for a charity and filming it at the same time. Does that make any sense? Raising money for charity, filmmaker, getting attention, watching 72 hours of movies. You know, we do our cheap movie review, and we do that on Thursday nights. And I wonder if this indie film, which it will end up being, will actually go anywhere. But 72 hours of watching movies. I like movies, but I don't think even I could do that. Matt, could you sit there for 72 hours and watch movies?
I would get too much ADD, and I don't think I could make it through that.
I don't think I could eat, and that's my reason. I couldn't sit still for that long.
Yeah, I have problems. You know how you can get DVDs of seasons from TV shows?
Yeah.
Even if it's a show I'm really into, and let's say it's, you know, season 5 of Rescue Me or something, Sons of Anarchy, some show that you can watch a block of it at a time, Breaking Bad, there's another good one. I still can't watch more than about 2 or 3 before I'm like, okay, I've had enough of this and I got to go do something else.
Yeah. So maybe that's the problem. We were watching the wrong cartoons to begin with and it gave us the disease that you and I both share, so.
I guess. I mean, I still find myself, while I'm watching TV, I'm doing other things. I'll have my laptop out or I'll have my cell phone out and I'm texting people. Like, I need more stimulation, I guess. That's
absolutely
what it is. I got to be doing more than one thing. I can't just stare at a screen.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm the same way. I completely relate to that, and so do, I'm sure, many of you. Let's turn to the U.S. Open. There was rain delays, all kinds of things that happened. But finally, a king and a queen were crowned at our Open in the world of tennis. Novak Djokovic won the Open by beating Rafa Nadal. He was always a crowd favorite. And Rafa, Novak kind of hurt himself. You could tell that during one period of the match, it looked like he wasn't going to get through, but he came through with flying colors in the end. He beat Nadal 6-2, 6-4, lost the third set 6-7, and then won the fourth set 6-1. Some incredible points in this match. Here's what he had to say afterwards.
Results that I had this year so far are amazing, and they're definitely something that I haven't expected, but it keeps coming. In the end, the bottom line is that's the whole point, you know, to win the Grand Slams, because these are the tournaments that are most important and most valuable tournaments in our sport for Grand Slams, so this is where you want to win. Right now I feel drained emotionally and physically and mentally, but it's normal, you know, after such a long year, so many matches. But, you know, I have this trophy here, and this is why I was fighting for, and I'm going to take some time off, I guess.
All right, so he played well. He made some incredible shots and did what he had to do. He ended up with 55 winners, and he was looking pretty exhausted out there. What an amazing Open it turned out to be. It is the biggest venue in sports in the world, with the crowds that are loud and so into it. And ultimately, like you said, he walks away with the main prize. Serena Williams wanted to do the same thing for the women, and she wasn't able to do that because of a woman named Sam Stosur from Australia, who just played some incredible tennis. And unfortunately, Serena Williams had some bad form on the court. You know how you hear the women grunt and all that stuff? And she screamed out, "Come on!" before the ball even landed at one point. So the chair umpire was all up in her chili. And Serena did not like that in the finals and kept jabbing her back, calling her a hater, and calling the chair umpire, rather, a hater and some other things. And ultimately, that has led to a $2,000 fine for the former champion for that outburst. We need some, like, booze. Boo! That's terrible. What is going on in the head of Serena Williams? Exactly. And this was our chance, too, America, to win. She berated the chair umpire during that singles championship match. And so she got a code violation for verbal abuse. She lost, by the way, 6-2, 6-3. And they just issued a statement saying it's consistent with other similar offenses at Grand Slam events. So, you know, she comes in with a good chance to win. She finishes as the runner-up. She gets $900,000. $900,000 for finishing where she did. And she got a bonus as well, because in the U.S. Open series, they give you a bonus. So she got $500,000 bonus for that. But like I said, for berating the umpire, some of the things that she said, you know, like I mentioned, she called her a hater. And, you know, she said, "I don't even remember what I said." But she said, "You're a hater. You're just unattractive inside. Really don't look at me. You're out of control." Matt, you were watching this. It was crazy that I don't get it. It threw her off the game anyway, and I think she was uncomfortable. But what was she thinking? Because, you know, the come-on comment that she made, the ball didn't even land. You can't just scream out, so she knows that.
I didn't catch the women's match. I watched part of the men's, but I did see the highlight of it, and you can tell that it was just, she was just getting really frustrated, and it was a lot like football players where they just start getting a bunch of unsportsmanlike penalties. That's what she was doing, just letting it get to her head.
Yeah, that's what I think, too. She just let it get inside her head and just started to say things, and she knew. I mean, what's a $2,000 fine? I just told you all the money that she earned there. All right, that's it for Weekend Count. Coming up on the flip side, we got some odds and ends for you. Hang with us.
They're poisoning the water with fluoride. They're spraying the air with heavy metals. Why and what can you do to defend your family? This week at waterwebinar.com, in an all-new free live online webinar, Earth's most powerful cleansing secret is being revealed. A secret they don't want you to know about. Find out how to take fluoride and heavy metals out of your water and your body. Use it to neutralize deadly inorganic particles like lead, aluminum, even mercury, and remove these accumulated poisons from your body. Go to waterwebinar.com, a water secret so powerful, some have called it the number one threat to the entire New World Order health agenda. It was even used during Chernobyl to clean up nuclear contamination. Go to waterwebinar.com now and sign up for free to find out how to turn the worst water on this planet into pristine, clear drinking water which heals your body. You can take your water freedom into your own hands and defend yourself and your family from the globalist health agenda. Don't get left behind. It's your life, your water, your freedom. Fight for it. Go to waterwebinar.com now.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
Positive results from satisfied customers of Heart and Body Extract continue to pour into our website, hbextract.com.
This is Al from New Jersey. One day I saw your ad for Heart and Body Extract, and it mentioned that it would help me with angina, so I decided to order. I figure I had nothing to lose.
Heart and Body Extract supplies your body with everything it needs to balance itself and maintain optimal heart and circulatory health with no negative side effects.
I took the formula 3 times a day as directed, and I kid you not, within 4 days, my angina pain was completely gone.
Order HB Extract by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I could not believe it actually stopped the pain. Heart and Body Extract actually works. This is just an amazing product. Even the numbness in my hands is completely gone.
Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
Third and goal at the Miami 2. Snap to Brady. Looking. Fires left. Caught. Touchdown. Tom Brady. To Wes Welker. Brady takes the snap, back to throw, gets rid of it down the field, caught, 20-yard line, 30, 35, 40, down the left sideline, Rob Gronkowski, he's going to go the distance.
No, that's Wes Welker.
Wes Welker, I'm sorry. Oh, a 99-yard touchdown play.
To tie an all-time National Football League record, Kondo will snap, Lechler will hold. Can he do it from 63? Kondo snap to Lechler. Part of history. Good. Chano has it away. I think he may have the distance. It is... Goal! He made it! He made a 63-yard field goal to tie the all-time NFL record.
Eric Decker back and fields it at the 9. To the 15, heads to the Raiders sideline. Decker running hard, runs to a tackle. Decker free, 40, 45, midfield. Decker gets a block on Lecker. He's going to go to the house. 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown Denver. Eric Decker, a 91-yard punt return. And the Broncos, just like that, are back in the game.
Wow, Monday night did not disappoint. The first game, complete blowout, really. New England Patriots taking it to Miami, 38-24, and they were just some gifts at the end there. Tom Brady annihilated the fish. He just did. 517 yards, four touchdowns.
What, are you kidding me?
It was a what are you kidding me. So a huge win for the Patriots, and I think some people thought that game would be a little closer. I figured they'd win it, but I didn't know that they'd break it wide open the way they did. I mean, it was just a rout. It was a humiliation in front of that Miami crowd. It's one of those games. It's just this first week has been crazy. And then Oakland on the road. How many of you are Raider fans? As we do little sports shorts here before we swing into odds and ends. Oakland knocks off Denver 23-20. Denver really got themselves back into that game because Oakland was controlling everything. And the thing that was cool, and you heard in that great highlight package that Matt put together for us, the 63-yard field goal was a key, obviously, in the end. 63 yards, tying an NFL record. Sebastian Janikowski, what an incredible feat. So this was big. This was big for the boys in black and silver to go into Denver and take this one because there was a crazy monsoon that broke out. It was a very chippy type of game, and there were, you know, some little fights that broke out on the field. And these are big AFC West rivals, so a huge way to cap off the first week in the NFL. Don't forget about Nail the Score. We do that on Thursday nights in our third hour. Our computer randomly picks the game of the week. You don't have to know anything about sports. With all the politics we're talking about and all the serious things that we're dealing with, you know, we got to lighten the load, as I'm fond of saying. And this is how we lighten the load. If you don't care about football, you care about winning and bragging rights. And it's just numbers. It's like picking lottery numbers. What do you think the final score is going to be? By the way, our game, in the game that we chose, the computer, the Sunday night game, the Jets and the Dallas Cowboys, the Jets won 27-24. Nobody nailed the score. Nobody picked that exact score. We did have a few people that picked the Jets, but not the the score. The score wasn't right on. So, for example, Stan in Connecticut picked the Jets 27-21. Oh, so close. And others, like Rick in Illinois, picked the Jets 21-17. But nobody got the exact numbers, and that's the key to nail the score. You have to get the exact numbers. Okay, I have to mention this quickly, and this fits into a separate category of face painters gone wild. But a South Carolina guy was arrested after supposedly using an illegal taser in a fight with some other fans during the Cowboys-Jets game on Sunday night. Man, what is going on with people? Are we blaming it on inebriation, stupidity? What possibly could erupt? What kind of trash talking or what kind of nonsense could have been going on that would have made this happen? And here's the weird thing about this. Charlamagne McKelvey says he doesn't know how his father got into this fight at the stadium. I mean, this was the 10th anniversary of 9/11, right? But he says he was attacked by four or five Jets fans for having a Dallas jersey on. So the father had to be bailed out to the tune of $22,000 and change. And the father, Leroy McKelvey, is 59 years old. So he was arrested on aggravated assault and two weapons possession charges. Matt, can you imagine taking your father to a game or getting your dad great seats to a game? And, you know, he's a Cowboy fan. He's in the stadium and this nonsense breaks out. And here's what's even stranger. Charlamagne is a member of a powerful morning show in that tri-state area that a lot of people listen to. So, of course, this story got blown up all over the place. And, I mean, what a crazy thing.
Yeah, it's become
And I heard someone else describe this. It's the football games are starting to look more and more like European soccer matches. And it's very sad because normally, I mean, there's a big rivalry where I come from between the Packers and the Vikings, and there'll be a lot of ribbing that goes on, but I've never seen anything get violent, which is fine. I mean, you'll get that, the ribbing, you know, jine back and forth, and a lot of it's good-natured. But when it turns violent, it's just ridiculous. It's sports. You don't need to be doing that.
Yeah, you don't need to be doing that. And what's really, really sad to hear, what is Rex Ryan thinking? Because he was asked about whether there would be a lot of Cowboy fans in the Jets stadium. And here's the thing. Because I did sports in New York for a while, mixed in with all the politics and all the other things I was doing in my career, the people in that area are very passionate about sports, but there were some passionate Cowboy fans. And there's no problem with that. I don't think there was any problem with it. And now all of a sudden you can't wear an opposing team's jersey. Now, Rex Ryan, after this happened, said, you know, because of course he's not expecting that some crazy thing like this is going to happen. So he said his intent was misconstrued. He didn't mean for anyone to be threatened. So, you know, that's the thing. If somebody comes to the game, it should be that polite trash talking. I mean, it used to be often fun. It's just like politics. You could be on a politically, you could be completely different from your neighbor or your buddy, but you would still get along. You didn't have this, okay, sorry, you're not a libertarian or you're not a Democrat or you're not a Republican or whatever your name was, and I can't hang out with you because you're not on my team. You know, it's kind of fun not to be surrounded by everyone on the same team because then you can have the trash talking that goes back and forth in the fun way. You can make those bets against each other. If not, everybody's playing on the same team and it's boring. But unfortunately, I guess if you are going to wear a jersey, a hat, a whatever of a rival team, good luck when you go into these stadiums. If you're in the parking lot, if somebody decides they're going to go after you, you know, Godspeed. Because they get you. They've got security, and they get to you when they can, and they try to stop all of that kind of stuff. But you can't catch it sometimes fast enough. If somebody's deep into a row somewhere, or they're in a parking lot, you know, it's odds are you're probably not going to be able to break it up in time. So that's a shame. Typical, right? A few bad apples always end up ruining it for the rest of us. Sorry about that.
Beckham now knocked Hamlin to the ice, cross checks him a couple of times. Well, call something for God's sake!
That's exactly right.
I mean, he's looking right at it. He hit Hamlin twice, and they called absolutely nothing.
This constant bickering is going to put me in a coma.
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.